Oh, hello. Welcome to Studio Classroom on the air. My name is Gabe. So, what do you know about bears? I mean, what do you really know about bears? Why is it that they sleep all winter? Do you wish that you could sleep all winter? The name of our lesson is Why Bears Sleep All Winter. And our story is, well, it's a story. So first of all, it's not true. I hope you noticed that detail from yesterday's beginning of this lesson. Yesterday we met Fuzzy Rabbit, who helped everyone, including Big Brown Bear. What is going to happen with those two today? Well, let's find out. Rawr.
Why Bears Sleep All Winter. Big Brown Bear followed Fuzzy Rabbit everywhere. Every time Fuzzy Rabbit stored up food for winter, Big Brown Bear ate it all. Big Brown Bear became a big problem. Fuzzy Rabbit filled a hollow log with food for winter. Bear climbed in to eat the food and take a nap. Fuzzy Rabbit went to Little Frog, Squirrel, and Brother Mole for help. "What can I do?" asked Fuzzy Rabbit. "I am small, and Big Brown Bear is enormous. He keeps eating the food I need for survival through the winter. Right now, he is living in my house in the hollow log."
Hi everyone, welcome to Language Lab. 首先我们看的是 hollow 这个形容词。Hollow 在这里是指空的或中空的。例如 ,the dividing walls were made of hollow bricks. 这些用来隔间的墙壁是用空心砖做的。或者是 ,the tree trunk became hollow because of bugs. 因为有虫咬所以这棵树的树干变成空心的。Hollow 也指凹陷的。例如 ,you can tell these kids are starving from their hollow cheeks.从这些孩子凹陷的脸颊可以看得出来他们正在挨饿。Hollow 也可以当动词。例如 ,Rita hollowed out some pumpkins to make jack-o'-lanterns. Rita 把一些南瓜挖空来做南瓜灯。接下来我们看的是 survival, 这个不可数名词。V-I-V 这个字根有生存的意思。所以 survival 是指生存或存活。例如 ,we prepared a survival kit in case of an earthquake. 为了预防地震我们预备了一个灾难急救包。或者是 ,the survival rate of this disease is lower than 10%. 这个疾病的存活率不到 10%. 它的动词是 survive. 例如 ,only a few survived the plane crash. 这个坠机事件只有少数人幸存。或者是 ,the cops,didn't survive because food was scarce. 因为食物太少，这些小熊没有活下来。
Thank you very much, Michelle. All right. It seems like Fuzzy Rabbit really does have a big heart, and she just wants to do all she can to help Big Brown Bear, but she doesn't really feel like she wants to do it, does she?
Oh, wait, she doesn't want to do it?
No, because at the end she's talking to her friends. What can I do?
Well, okay, you know? Hold on. I think that Fuzzy Rabbit does want to help Big Brown Bear, but I think Big Brown Bear just has such a big appetite, and I think he's kind of taking advantage of Fuzzy Rabbit.
Yeah, I think so, too.
So maybe he's a little bit of an unhealthy friend?
Maybe. Maybe he just doesn't have proper boundaries. And sometimes, I think he's a nice guy, a nice bear. He doesn't know he's taking advantage of Fuzzy Rabbit, but I think he needs to learn. Maybe someone needs to tell him.
Maybe. I wonder who's going to do that. Gabe, maybe you should do that. Talk to Big Brown Bear.
Well, if I could talk to an animal and he could talk to me, I would love that. Well, we continue with our story here. Let's go to the very top again. Big Brown Bear followed Fuzzy Rabbit everywhere. Every time Fuzzy Rabbit stored up food for winter, Big Brown Bear ate Not just a little bit, not just some of it, but ate it all. Nice one, big brown bear.
Now, Gabe, I don't know about you, but I think that would be kind of annoying.
It would be really annoying.
You know, if you had somebody follow you around everywhere, and then you tried to store up food in preparation for winter, and that person or thing ate all of your food, that would be annoying.
It'd be really annoying.
Yeah.
Well, let's take a look at this phrase here in this sentence, to store up. Okay, so Fuzzy Rabbit was storing up food. Now, you see the word store there. That means you're keeping something somewhere safe, okay, for use in the future. So when you're storing up, the idea is that you're preparing it for use in the future, maybe sometime in the near future.
And I think in general, it's a very wise thing to store up at least a little bit of food in the event there is an emergency.
So, like cans. When I think of people storing up food, I think of canned food, like corn and beans and stuff like that. That's not going to go bad too quickly.
Right. If you store up a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables, guess what?
Yeah.
They're not going to last very long.
Yeah, you should give those fresh fruits and vegetables to rabbits because they like to eat them right now.
Right. And then Fuzzy Rabbit will have lots of food.
Yeah.
Okay, so continuing with our lesson, we read Big Brown Bear became a big problem.
A big brown problem.
A big brown problem.
Yeah.
Not a small problem, a big problem. Fuzzy Rabbit filled a hollow log with food for winter. Bear climbed in to eat the food and take a nap.
Now, here's a picture of a log. You know, it's a tree that fell over and it's hollow there. There's a kind of a hole for something to fit inside. Now, that tree branch, this log, is not that big. I don't think a big brown bear could actually fit into it. But this is the idea of a hollow log, right? Now, maybe a smaller animal could crawl inside and take a nap.
To take a nap is a fun phrase, and this reminds me of my cat Mittens. Sometimes I get a little jealous because every afternoon, the entire afternoon, she likes to take a nap.
Well, I get a little jealous because you have all these stories about your cat Mittens, and I don't even have a cat, and I love cats.
Well, you have a little boy. You have little Isaac.
That is true, and he likes to take naps too, but he often cries when he's supposed to be taking a nap. You know what, Rebecca? You mentioned your cat Mittens. Sometimes when we take a short nap, we could call it a cat nap, maybe 15 or 20 minutes just to give us a little more energy for the day. I'm going to take a cat nap.
So what is happening when Bear is taking a nap? Fuzzy Rabbit went to Little Frog, Squirrel, and Brother Mole for help. What can I do? Asked Fuzzy Rabbit. I'm small, and Big Brown Bear is enormous.
He's enormous, and that's an enormous word. Well, it means huge or really big. For example, yesterday we learned about Big Brown Bear's appetite. We could also say he has an enormous appetite.
Exactly, because Big Brown Bear keeps eating all Rabbit's food to help him get through the winter. Speaking of winter, do you ever winterize something?
That is a weird word. Let's talk more about it in
the Info Cloud.
Hello and welcome to InfoCloud. Carolyn, what does winterize mean to you?
Well, now that I live in Taipei, it means to get out my coats and warm blankets. But in the U.S., getting ready for the winter can be a big job.
The word winterize is used anytime when we do something to a place or a thing to get ready for cold weather.
So one of the things you might do here is close and cover the vents for air conditioners that go through your windows.
I do that, but Carolyn was talking about a much more involved process for winterizing in the United States. Can you give us some examples?
Sure. So in my part of the United States, winterizing is very important because not getting ready for winter isn't just expensive. It's also dangerous.
The United States is a big place. and the northern half of the U.S. has average temperatures below freezing for most of the winter.
That's right. In northern areas, we have to wrap any exposed water pipes so they don't freeze in the wintertime.
And that can be a big problem. If water freezes in a pipe, it can break and cause a lot of water damage.
For most, winterizing means keeping cold air out of your home. New windows have multiple layers of glass to insulate your home.
But new windows for a house are expensive. So people with older homes use storm windows, which is an extra layer of glass that attaches to your window to help keep cold air out.
Or, if you can't afford storm windows, people sometimes use clear plastic sheets and tape, especially for very drafty windows.
Heating a home in weather that is below freezing can be very expensive.
So whatever you can do to keep the warm air in and the cold air out will also save you money.
西方人对于过冬这件事情相当重视。 因为许多欧美地区的冬天是相当寒冷的，如果没有做好过冬的准备，其实是一件相当危险的事情，所以才会有这个动词winterize，准备过冬。People are busy winterizing up north. 在北方，人们正忙着为过冬做准备，可能要检查暖气是否正常，窗户是否要装两层的。 煤炭或柴火够不够为了提升或保持室内温度，如果有机会在冬天去到一些寒冷国家，千万要有winterize的观念。这就是今天的InfoCloud，我们下次云端见。
Studio Classroom is on the air. Well, now how would you feel? Fuzzy Rabbit has done all these things for her friends, including Big Brown Bear. Now, Big Brown Bear likes to follow her around, eating every kind of food that she has, and he's even begun to take a nap in her home, a hollow log. Well, who's going to come to the rescue? Is there anybody that can help Fuzzy Rabbit? Let's find out. I'm so worried.
Why bears sleep all winter. Little Frog, Squirrel, and Brother Mole decided to help Fuzzy Rabbit. Squirrel filled up both ends of the hollow log with leaves and small rocks. Little Frog and Brother Mole packed mud against the leaves and rocks at the ends of the log. Now, Fuzzy Rabbit, they said, use your feet to pack the rocks and leaves tightly into the mud. That is exactly what she did.
Okay, 继续我们看 fill up 这个片语动词。 Fill up 是指充满或填满。 例如, the restaurant fills up quickly once it opens. 这家餐厅一开门就高朋满座。Fill up 常常只加油。例如, the truck has a big gas tank, so it takes a while to fill up. 这个卡车的油箱很大，要加满需要些时间。或者是, William forgot to fill up the car before returning it to his friend. William 还车给朋友时忘记把油箱加满。如果要说明用什么东西填满的话，是用 with这个介系词。例如, the waiter filled my glass up with iced tea. 这位服务生把我的玻璃杯倒满了冰茶。最后我们看的是 pack 这个动词。 pack 在这里是指挤进或塞满，和 fill up 的意思差不多。例如, the people on the subway are always packed like sardines during rush hour. 尖峰时刻地铁上的人都挤得像沙丁鱼一样。或者是 fans packed the Coliseum to watch the Super Bowl. 球迷挤满了大体育场要观赏超级杯。 Pack 我们学过也可以指打包， 例如 David packed two big suitcases for his trip to Africa. David 打包了两大皮箱的行李要去非洲旅行。 And now let's get back to our teachers.
Thank you so much, Michelle. Well, let's continue with our story here and see how these animals come together to help Fuzzy Rabbit. Little Frog, Squirrel, and Brother Mole decided to help Fuzzy Rabbit. I love that he's not just called Mole, he's called Brother Mole.
Mm-hmm. And I like how Rabbit's not just called Rabbit, it's Fuzzy Rabbit. And don't forget about Frog, it's Little Frog.
So what about Squirrel? What makes him special? Maybe we can call him Squeaky Squirrel? Or Square Squirrel?
Squeaky Squirrel. I'm sure Squirrel's kind of squeaky.
Anyway, so let's continue with how they helped Rabbit. Fuzzy Rabbit. Oh, Squirrel filled up both ends of the hollow log with leaves and small rocks. Hey, it seems like these animals are all coming to the rescue. And that's a phrase we want to talk about. You don't see it in our lesson, but these animals are all coming to Fuzzy Rabbit's rescue. This means that they're coming to save Fuzzy Rabbit.
Hey, Gabe, that's such a good phrase. I was just thinking of that phrase.
You're a genius.
I know, and then you brought it up. So to come to one's rescue. Mm-hmm. Well, here's another way that you can use this phrase. All the boys were attacking Dolly with water balloons. But then I came to the rescue and I had my own set of water balloons.
Oh, good. So everybody started to attack you as well.
Well, no. Dolly and I got to the boys.
All right. Boys, got Zach. Attacked them with water balloons. Very good. You came to the rescue.
Well, you bet I did.
Very nice. Friends, have you ever been in a situation where you needed help? Who came to the rescue? Or perhaps you've seen someone who needed help and you came to the rescue. Talk about it in English.
So, just as a reminder, we have Fuzzy Rabbit is in trouble, right? And all her little friends came to the rescue. Well, we continue. Little Frog and Brother Mole packed mud against the leaves and rocks at the ends of the log. Well, it sounds like, Gabe, these animals are being very decisive.
Yeah, that's the idea here, okay? So these animals, they decided to help Fuzzy Rabbit, and this is what they're doing. And they came up with some good ideas, some definite and certain ideas of what they were going to do. So they are decisive. Now, if you are decisive, that means you are able to make decisions quickly and firmly without shaking or changing your mind.
Now, if you're not decisive, meaning that you can't make decisions very easily or you're often convinced by what other people have to say or what other people are doing, mm-hmm. you could say that you're indecisive.
That's right.
So Megan is not very decisive. She's actually a bit indecisive. She cannot decide if she should go to the party or not. She keeps changing her mind.
Well, you know, some people are decisive and some people are just indecisive. I think sometimes I'm decisive and sometimes I'm indecisive.
Well,
I can't decide.
Yeah, sometimes I'm decisive and sometimes I'm not. But I'm really practicing to let my yeses be yes and my noes be no, meaning that if I say I'm going to do something, mm-hmm. even if something else comes up that seems more interesting, I'm going to be committed to the first thing that I said I'm going to do.
That's a great thing to do, Rebecca. Yes, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And be decisive and stick to your word. So it sounds like these animals in our story are deciding to stick to what they want to do, and they want to help Fuzzy
yes.
Rabbit. So they're using leaves and rocks and mud, and they're trying to pack in this hollow log.
Now, Fuzzy Rabbit, they said, use your feet to pack the rocks and leaves tightly into the mud. That is exactly what she did.
Well, good. It's about time they're doing something about Big Brown Bear, because it seemed like Big Brown Bear was kind of walking all over Fuzzy Rabbit.
Oh, I'm so glad that you brought that up.
Yeah.
To walk all over someone.
Exactly, friends. We use this phrase when someone can't say no. If you can't say no, someone might walk all over you, just like you see in this picture. There's a doormat or a rug, and people are walking all over it. That's the idea. Sometimes we feel like that when people just take advantage of us and just do things that we don't even want them to do.
So if you feel like someone is walking all over you, could you consider yourself a doormat?
Well, right. Yeah, that's the idea. Sometimes we call people a doormat. Or sometimes we say, I feel like a doormat because it seems like everyone is just telling me what to do.
That's right. Well, right now it's time for us to go to something very special.
Yeah, something a little different.
One of the best ways that we can be a blessing to each other is just being thankful. I know for me, when people say, hey, I appreciate something you did for me today, I get this warm feeling that just makes my entire day wonderful, even if I've had a really rough day. And one time, my church pastor came to the rescue. He invited me out to lunch and just listened to my stressful day at work, and that really encouraged me a lot.
One way you can be a blessing to someone is to be there for people. When you are in the office in the morning and you see someone tired, go buy them a coffee. When you see someone having a bad day, buy them something to eat, talk to them, and see what they need.
I remember a time when someone came to my rescue. Years ago, I decided to climb Jade Mountain with some friends. And that trail in some places seemed so dangerous to me. You'd walk along and, whoa, it was so far down. And some of the trail was uneven and even broken. I was so scared, I was almost frozen. And someone grabbed me and helped me over that very difficult trail. So I was so thankful.
I can be a blessing by reaching out to others, especially those who might be down or feeling sad. I can try to listen to what they're going through.
And so a friend of mine allowed me to process, and he was willing to take the time to listen. And I could just share how I felt and some of my anxieties or some of my worries. And just being able to share those things, I felt very blessed by him.
One time I went to a birthday party far away out in the country. I had a great time. When I went to go back to my car and drive home, I realized I locked my keys in the car. My husband had to drive all the way from the city to bring me my extra set of keys. Oh, he really came to my rescue.
Oh, that was cool. All right, Rebecca, we were talking about Fuzzy Rabbit and how sometimes Big Brown Bear just kind of walks all over her. Do you ever feel like a doormat yourself?
That's a really good question. Well, sometimes. Sometimes if I don't set good boundaries with people and I allow people to take advantage of me, I do kind of feel like a doormat. But I feel like that's my responsibility and I need to set boundaries.
That's right. It's important to know when to say no. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's continue this story next time. We'll find out how these animals are helping Fuzzy Rabbit right here on
Studio Classroom. A friend cares at all times. A friend endures at all times. A good friend lasts a lifetime. I am so proud to have you in my life. A good friend lasts a lifetime.